This episode of The Instance is brought to you by our friends at DoghouseSystems.com, the best gaming rigs I've ever played on. I love mine. You'll love yours. Go check out the fantastic machines on display now with all the configuration options and more. Use Henry at checkout for double the memory at DoghouseSystems.com.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 401. We're really close to 404, where the whole show is just a big blank mess, and it's all jacked up. Nobody can find it. Can't wait for that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, right? See? Get my little joke there. It is, what is today? Friday, the February 13th, 2015. It's one of the Friday the 13th. So enjoy that
for whatever
that's worth. Sure. Why not?
Whoa. I didn't even know this.
I know.
Okay.
Be careful,
I should
dude.
Now be scared of everything.
Be careful of anyone named Jason.
Uh-huh. Isn't that only up to midday, though? Mm. Or am I thinking of April 1st?
You are thinking of April 1st, I think.
Okay.
I think the 13th is always
the 13th
scary.
Is like that starts in when the sun
day.
Goes down, right? Mm-hmm. That's when it really gets bad.
It gets real bad the minute you go to the beach
so
house
actually,
with
I'm
your friends.
I'm getting into the worst bit of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Are you
For Terps or in me, that's when we have to start looking over our shoulders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's I'm nervous. And so I have the webcam on. Mm. So chat room, if you see any, you know, masked killer coming up behind me, please let me know in the chat room.
She's blonde and she used to love you.
10 or 15 seconds after it's, you know, important, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you know.
Yeah.
Still better than nothing, Dills, okay?
There are several streamers who stream with doors behind them and dark rooms within those doors, and I cannot watch them.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
If you were a streamer and you want viewers,
no, I can.
I guess maybe either do that, maybe people like that, but yeah, I cannot watch it.
I can barely.
I streamed for the first time ever today.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this. Yeah. How did that go for you? Channel? How'd that go?
It was super fun. Mm-hmm. It was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. I was listening to the Angry Chicken,
yeah.
And I was like, "Hey, this Hearthstone game seems fun."
Yeah,
yeah. And so I hadn't played for like a couple of months, and I figured I want to play again. And booted up the stream for the first time. I had played around with OBS, and it was super fun because the interaction with the audience is really great. And I was doing the stupidest plays you could ever imagine, ever. And they were making fun of me.
Yeah,
and that was great.
That's what they
do. I
had
tons of fun.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Here's something I'd say about you and how you just described that. You may have been some dad talking about finally getting on his kid's skateboard and trying it for the first time. It sounded really, really old manny, but whatever, man. I got in and watched you play a rank 21 somebody or another.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How did you get on, Patrick?
Yeah, how'd you
what
do?
Are you playing?
When I logged in, he was rank 18, so apparently he was doing okay.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, it was okay. I played, I think, 6-7 matches. I lost
and
a couple.
It's a personal question, Patrick, but what's your dick? What dick are you playing?
Yeah.
So that was the fun of it. I was
describe
using my very old, so it's very powerful, strong, throbbing.
Uh-huh.
And
I've heard that it can be all over far too quickly, though. I'm not sure if you've got enough kind of card draw in there, enough stamina to go through the game.
Yeah,
it's actually a druid long-winded deck.
Oh,
and,
ramp. Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
Now
yeah.
He's bragging.
It's it's an old school deck from back in the beta.
I did notice how old
it's been around.
You had Bite in there. You had
You
had River Crocolisk in there.
It was basically a horribly outdated deck, but that was the fun of it. And my play style is also horrendous.
Really
so,
old.
Yeah, we had fun.
I love
fun.
That though. That's brilliant. Just thinking about like a pre-nerf deck.
Mm-hmm.
And and I don't even know the meta. I fought a mech mage which was
he
destroyed me. I didn't know what was happening. Mm. It was great.
Here's what's awesome. You've embraced your playstyle
really
with yeah, most people stream cuz they're good and they want to show the world that they're good.
No, that's
well,
not me.
Yeah. I like your take. I think it's fine. Embrace the bad.
Why the And the thing, you know, for me, it's great for everyone. Because, so just by the way, I'm not, you know, trying to sell you my stream. I'm probably not going to be doing it very often. I'm not a streamer. But for me, it was like, for them, it was fun. It was entertaining for the audience because I was horrible and they were making fun of me. And for me, it was great because I would do a play and then turn to the chat to know why it was bad.
Yeah.
And they would teach me why it was
but
bad.
But wasn't it like a minute and a half fun. Later? Like it wasn't right away. Your feedback was slow.
Well, it's 30 seconds.
It's not 30 seconds.
You can get told you've missed Lethal fairly quickly.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Actually, if you don't have a delay on, sometimes you would have missed Lethal, but chat's screaming at you that you have Lethal and you didn't notice. So there's actually an advantage too as well. By the way, someone in chat
tried
mentioned
not to
it.
Look at it.
Yeah.
So the guy who did Chocolate Rain, Tay Zonde, is now streaming Hearthstone.
Yeah, oh, great, dude!
No,
it may be the most frustrating thing I've ever watched in my life.
Wow.
But it's also really interesting.
It's like Rope Coach, but really bad. Like every time he just you got rope burning down all the time, and he did a pack on opening. Like the first time he's like, oh my, I'm gonna open a pack. Okay, let me see here. All classes. Okay, that's good. We got here a rope. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. This is actually a very accurate.
You're kind of nailing the voice.
He got Sylvanas, which is obviously one of the better cards in the game.
Yeah.
And he's just like Sylvanian Windrunner. Okay,
like all classes.
That guy's amazing.
When it dies.
Sorry, he keeps trying to bust in here.
But it is, honestly. And then he's like, oh my God. Oh, chat's telling me, oh my. I think I'm going to go pro. I seem to have got myself the best card in the game.
Amazing. Amazing. I need to get some of this on tape so I can like hack it up and use some sound bites. That sounds incredible.
It's you can find it. It's all on his VODs. So Tezonde Gaming or something, Tezonde Games, something like that on Twitch.
Yeah.
I played Team Fortress 2 with him before, and it's the most surreal thing in the world because he actually talks like that.
Yeah,
and it's not
like
a thing he puts on. His voice is the weirdest, lowest voice in the world of ever. And the whole time you're just thinking, Chocolate Rain. It's surreal.
All right, I got a question for you about this, just real quick, side note. You work for a company and with a group of people who are all YouTubing, and it's a big success, all that stuff. So you've got some perspective on this. I've noticed, and I don't know if I'm alone in this, and you can tell me if you think I'm right. I have noticed a kind of coming over of, let's say, non-gaming YouTube personalities, people that have found their fame on YouTube other ways, starting to start little gamer channels and play a lot of Minecraft. Have you noticed that? Is it just me noticing that?
It's not too new in that it's always kind of been around. There's more now. Mm. I think what you'll see is the likes of the Ellens and the Jimmy Kimmels of this world will eventually transition, and they'll have kind of more media money behind them because they're known. So I think you're going to see more big stars existing. But, you know, the likes of like Tezonde and stuff like that, you know, he's been playing games for ages. He's just, you know, started to stream and kind of do more with it.
Yeah.
There's been several
celebrities, though, already. Yeah, this is not just starting. I mean, this has been going on for a while. But I do like, Conan doing his gaming stuff. I think people are starting to realize how much money is going on in the gaming world.
Mm.
And if they can grab a chunk.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, tens of billions of dollars every year, you know, as an industry, and they want to spend it with people that they watch. And so, you know, if Conan's going to promote something, you know, albeit fantastic, I'm sure he does very well out of it.
Mm. Well, I found a clip.
His thing is that he sucks at all the games, right?
Sure. Sure, and that's totally
fine. Well, he doesn't even know games. Conan is just like what is this?
What's going on?
Yeah.
It feels a little bit... Not disingenuous, but I don't know. I don't find the Conan things that funny. It's just Conan making fun of the games, like with a pretend, haha, it's funny because I don't know it, but he's really just condescending to it. That's how it feels like to me.
A little bit. I mean, I know he does it for laughs. He does it for laughs, but I totally agree. It's kind of like some jerk jock guy in high school making fun of you because you like D&D or something.
Yeah.
There's a bit of that going on. But I have here a clip from, this is from Tezonde, so this is perfect. This is when he first got Pepe on his head in World of Warcraft. Here's what he said.
Burn those tweets.
All right, that's it. That's all I got.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, I've noticed like what Adrian Curry is now streaming Hearthstone. You remember her? She was married to the.
Oh yeah, she's
the guy from.
Did she do all the cosplay?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yes.
No,
yes.
But she had the show with the guy from the 60s television show. What was the name? The Brady Bunch.
The Brady.
She's married to the Brady guy, right?
Yeah, one of the Brady.
Now she's streaming Hearthstone. Then you've got Mia Rose, who's famous for other things. She streams.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these people out there.
Sure. And now there's Patrick. Circle
and
complete.
And now there's Patrick Bejan.
Yep. Life circle complete.
And I
last
forgot.
The ones to cash in.
I want a little bit of that. How much was it? 15 billion trillion?
10 million.
Just a little bit, right?
Yeah. Just a little bit. But I forgot to set the videos to archive, so yeah. It was lost forever.
Oh.
So I'm not very good.
Wow. No. Okay.
So only, you know, it was a collector's item. Only those who were there when it happened for real, authentic, will have
like
the memory
it.
Of me
like
actually planning to do a Mark of the Wild on a fairy dragon and losing.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You've
yeah.
given me hope. That I could maybe stream Hearthstone and not look like as much of an idiot, because I even know that's bad.
Oh, I look like an idiot, Scott. Do not kid yourself about that. It was just I was reveling into the idiocy.
But Patrick, think of all the referrals you'll get from Scott going, no, check out Patrick. He did worse than me.
Yeah.
You know, a load of people are going to be like, well, I should probably, if they did worse, I'll check it.
I'll drive you some traffic. Okay, yeah.
Just to be clear, I did get to rank 10 at some point, you know, in the previous year. It's just it's like a bike. I need
it was in an internal beta. No one else was really playing. But I showed that innkeeper who's boss.
Yeah,
I hate you. You're glue, I'm rubber.
Hey, according to Ben Brode, rank 10 is actually in like the top 10 percentile of all people playing the game.
No,
so, yeah. So look at you.
No, I don't suck.
Top 10%.
Yeah. Believe that guy. He walks through your town in a plaid shirt and he knows what's up.
I'll tell you this, though. I got to rank 2 last season and I just don't care anymore. Like getting to anything, unless you can play the game all day, there's just no point in caring about what your rank is. I say play a deck that you think is fun and just whatever.
Yeah. Lay waste with it.
You know what I mean? Enjoy it.
I much prefer the arena. I kind of feel like I've got more of a chance there. I recently went.
Plus, crazy stuff happens. You know,
I went 9 wins, which is one of the highest I've done, and I was really pleased with it. And that's the thing. But I got beaten by a guy who had Deathwing, and to have that in an arena setting, I just think is amazing.
Yeah, that's
crazy. A guy pulled Deathwing, and then that was how I went out in the end.
That's like winning a lottery ticket with a winning number.
I would rather have the lottery ticket in hindsight as well, I think Deathwing would be pretty cool as well.
Deathwing's good also.
Sure, why not? If you have to take it, you take it. All
if
right,
it's an either or, then lottery, but if it's a, why not, I wouldn't mind both.
Yeah, it'd be all right. So thus endeth the moment. This is what we call the pruning time, where anyone who hates Hearthstone has left the show already. Now we can just focus on the core people who love us no matter what we talk about. And we'll start the news with that thought in mind, which I can't find. Crap, where is it? Here it is. All right, patch 6.1. There's a lot of talk about it. And thankfully, there's some nice things coming with it. Not only content, not only changes, tweaks, and updates, and items, and all the things that we're looking forward to. UI changes and whatnot. But apparently, it's coming with a bunch of nice graphical upgrade options. Anti-aliasing and lighting, mostly. Anti-aliasing. What do you say? Aliasing? I always say aliasing. That's an American thing, I think. Listen, Beta over there with your Beta. It is. So I got a question for you guys about anti-aliasing. Okay.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Which is this.
Because it creates aliases, Scott.
It makes no freaking sense. Like, nobody knows what these terms are. When you say, CMAA, MSAA, X times X times 4 times 2, SSAA 2X, or CMAA, like,
all right,
give
so
me some common knowledge language here for these stupid terms.
The first phrases of the blog post is, you know, the second phrase is, but before we begin, a quick reminder that the topics we cover in Engineers Workshop tend to be quite technical.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. So
This is more of a complaint about the industry as a whole. That's all I'm saying.
You want the stupid proof version of these improvements?
Lay it on me.
So basically, there are
a couple of things. Everything looks better.
Yeah, that's what it is. Sorry. But I was actually going to explain a little bit of it. It's post-processing improvements to the graphics of the game. Basically, once the image is rendered, all the polygons are in place. It treats the image to make it look a little bit better. And there are two of them. An improvement to ambient occlusion, which makes it, I believe it's better dynamic range. Basically, it gives you more blacks and lighter colors, you know, blacker and lighter colors. So you see more colors on screen,
I don't see color. I only see people. Go on, continue.
There's also the aliasing, the anti-aliasing, which is the little steps that you see on the pixelated graphics when you go too close to an image.
Many people refer to them as jaggies in video games.
Yeah, there you go. So the jaggies, and it gets rid of the jaggies, and there's improvements there as well. There were other, you know, previous types of anti-aliasing and ambient occlusion calculations were good, but these ones are better and make the overall image look a little bit better. It seems like it's not something that you will notice just immediately, but it's, to me, the kind of thing that is incremental step, but they do that all the time, which makes the game look a lot better now than it did, you know, 3 years ago, even though you're not noticing that it's improving.
So this is a fine explanation. I like where you've gone with this. I understood all of that before going in. I know this isn't for me, it's for everybody, but here's my point is this. I understand certain video cards are only going to support certain standards. Okay, so the reason that there are multiple choices for creating a better anti-aliasing situation is because different cards support different choices. I just think that when you go into those options and you see a bunch of choices that say things like CMAA, MSAAXX, 8X, SSAA2X, and all this stuff.
It's like something you'd see on the side of an American candy bar. It just feels like it's it's loads of chemicals and numbers. I don't know what they mean. All I know, Scott, is that when they're there, it's good, you know?
Okay.
And that's the thing, is I just tick all the boxes. I don't care if it's HBOA plus minus 12. You know, I'm just going to click the box and then see what it looks like.
All right.
Then I might be like, now it's all running really slow.
Yeah. I better take some of those off.
I better
off.
Unclick that box.
Unclick it. And then everyone's like, oh, good job you unclicked that. I'm like, yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah. I guess the point is, though, the bottom line is it is nice to see the game continue to evolve graphically. And while it's not overreaching so that people can't play it, they continue to be very entry level in terms of hardware recommendations. But for those with better rigs, they're certainly making WoW look better than it's ever looked. And their comparison screens look pretty hot. They looked all right to me. I could tell the difference. Before and after, sure.
Like I can with some the before and the after. Like but in the game, I don't have the before. I just have I've ticked the box thing really. And I don't know. For me, it's cool. They're like nice to see, but I don't know. I've never really had that much of a hard on for graphical settings.
Right.
I like high res textures. I'm all about high res textures. But this is just all about kind of the lighting, and I guess it looks nice.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It looks nice, and it's the kind of thing, as I was saying, you're not going to notice it. It's not like run out and buy the latest graphics card right now because you need these settings to be active in order to enjoy the game. It's just, you know, and by the way, I'm fairly sure that these would run on a lot of the graphics cards we have as long as they're DirectX 11.
Modern, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, don't worry about it too much. If you're not interested in those things, you probably shouldn't worry about it. It's just going to make the game better ultimately in the long run.
Well, they said in the post that there was people had been kind of asking for these updates, and I think, you know, the people who are asking for these are very specific kinds of players. There's most of the people just clicking stuff until they get a decent FPS, and then they're good to go.
Yeah.
But there's some people who really want, you know, they have really nice graphics cards and really nice specs on their computer, and they want it to look really great.
My brother-in-law bought one of those big 34-inch cinema displays that are like the curved Samsung one. That's 4K plus. I don't know what. They're really good for production stuff too, which is a nice thing. But he ran WoW on it for me while I was over there. And what I didn't expect was all the Blizzard games. Many games don't support it at all. It just letterboxes it in from the left and right, and you end up with your standard 12x9. this thing will do, I don't know what the ratio is, like 2:1 or something, whatever it is. It's like this really long, but not very high display.
21:9, is it?
Is it 21? It might be 21:9. That sounds right.
Cinema ones, yeah.
And it looked amazing. But not only that, Blizzard has built-in support for those things to go edge to edge and show a wider view. And there is some talk that they may change that in WoW because it's giving PvPers an advantage. They have this peripheral vision.
When you can see farther to your left and right, that's
it's a huge difference.
You have a distinct advantage over the other.
He showed it to me. I was like, holy crap, Diablo also supports it. That looked freaking fantastic. And he was running it all at this maximum 4K resolution. It looked beautiful. And it really got me tempted about it. But if Blizzard, since Blizzard games are the games I play most on PC, that might justify this $1,200 thing.
It's actually not as bad in WoW as it would be in something like Counter-Strike or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Because your angle of vision.
You still have to target people and, you know, stealth people are still stealth, stuff like that. But if you can see all the way, the peripheral vision.
Yeah, but I doubt they would change the field of view in Counter-Strike to those something types that you can't get in another. Yeah, because it's so important to that game.
They don't support it. In fact, that's one that doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like in WoW it's less important. It's not as big of a deal.
But it's interesting just in the... It's a weird display, and I don't think this becomes the standard. I think 16:9 is still kind of going to be the thing that people play on for the foreseeable future. In some cases, even 10 or 16:10.
I think the bigger push at the moment is all about pixel density, and you're seeing it on smartphones. You get like 4K smartphones now. It's insane. Mm. And so I think you're going to see screens staying similar sizes, but everything being far more dense. I mean, I've got a 27-inch screen, but it's I think it's 2K or whatever the one up is from 1080.
Yeah.
And the reason I have that is because it lets me play games in windowed mode and I can record those a lot easier without having alt tab and having, you know, whenever I click off it break. So there's kind of changes things. I still have two monitors.
Yeah.
And you do get now some of those, you know, massive big monitors, kind of like what your friend had, where so people just have the one rather than two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think personally you're going to see far more, you know, definition increase than changing in aspect ratios and sizes.
Yeah, I agree.
It took forever to go from 4:3 or whatever it was, right, to this. So,
from a production standpoint, though, the idea of that 34 is nice for audio production on one side, video on the other. You can fit, you know, like 4 1080p video previews at full resolution on, you know, in quadrants. Like, there's a lot more space to do production work, but I'm not sure as a gamer that is appealing to me. I mean, I like what Blizzard's doing to support it in terms of field of view and stuff, but again, their games are different. I don't know how, like, you know, I don't know what HOTS is like there, or I'll bet you Warcraft is locked in. I doubt they spread that table all out.
I will say, though, I'll never turn down extra space.
Yeah.
I'll never turn down extra space.
WoW is completely open. You can have WoW any resolution.
Yeah. WoW will do whatever, and that's what he showed me primarily, and it looked amazing, and just this idea that you had, you know, inventory bags and UI elements way off to the left and right, you could have everything open and kind of out all the time and still have more screen real estate than you normally do.
Yeah, but
you've
got to turn your head, Scott. That's no one wants to turn their head.
Well, the curved screen, this is what shocked me. I always thought curved screen, schmurved cream, because who cares, right? Like, big deal. But as a TV,
I'm some of that cream though. As
somebody who likes a good TV, I still feel that way about the curved TVs. But when it came to this monitor, I was kind of blown away by how the curve actually keeps more in your frame of view than it would, I think, maybe otherwise. And the only reason I'm saying that is he also had a same aspect ratio, same size 34-inch LG that was not curved, and I felt like that one was straining my ability to kind of stay in the periphery. And the curved one, I felt like I kind of had everything in my view. So,
yeah, for a monitor that's fairly close to your face, that's understandable. It's for the TV that you know, it's a little bit more.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You know, one of the things that I will say is that is a pet peeve of mine in World of Warcraft, is that to have all the information that I need to have, you know, at my fingertips, there's a lot going on, which takes away from what the game actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have so many numbers flying as I'm raiding. So many alerts popping up, and every enemy has a bar above his head and all these things. And you kind of sometimes lose the immersion and just like, I'm fighting these crazy dragons and here comes a bunch of smaller guys that I have to also kill. You kind of lose that and you just are just stuck in the information that's being fed to you. And to be able to
welcome to the life of a healer.
But to be able to move everything away out of the way of the actual graphics would be amazing. And having a bigger monitor to be able to do that would be awesome, I think.
Yeah, so. I totally agree. All right, well, moving on. Check this out. RG, is it RG? I don't know, whatever. The little
the goat, space goat.
Space goat pet that they sold for Ebola charity did pretty good. 1.9 million as reported by Blizzard. That's a lot of money for Ebola, although it did not do as well as the Cinder Kitten, 2.3 million, or the Alterac Brew Pub at 2 million. And those were, what charities were those for? They may have been for.
It was Ebola. It was
Children's Make-A-Wish Hospital? Or something? Or?
Oh, it might have been, the Children's Hospital in Orange County.
Yeah. Not enough Americans bought into the fear and had Ebola, I suppose.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I should remember that.
That's good, though. I like that Blizzard does this.
Like, oh, crap, that was actually my job. It was American Red Cross for the Cinder Kitten, and it was the Make-A-Wish for the Brew Pup.
Got it.
There you so, go.
That's great. Ebola just not on everyone's radar as much, maybe, but that's great. I hope Blizzard continues to make reasons for me to buy, because I don't really like buying the stuff outside of the charity ones, so the more charity ones they do, the more I'll buy them.
Now, how about if they made the Argy automatically level 25?
Dude, I'm in.
Everybody would buy it, right?
Okay, I got a question for you, because I know you've been back to doing some pet stuff, or doing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. For the first time.
So here's the question. I got my pets are all like 8 and 10, and maybe there's a 12 in there. And then I start
those
running.
Those are children, Scott.
They're halfway to 25. I get that far, and I always fall apart there because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not doing it right because some are leveling up faster than others.
Yeah.
I don't know the best ones to match up. I read the guides. There's some good stuff out there, but I still feel like I run out of steam at around 12. What are you finding now that you're doing
it? What you do is you need to get a couple to 25, and then it's really easy to get the rest up. And the fastest way to do it is to leapfrog by capturing high level, like pets that are leveling around where your top leveled pet is. Mm-hmm. So you capture one and then you can kind of leapfrog a couple more levels up.
Yeah, so. there's a really good guide where basically you get three mech Pandokemon. And so you'll have those from Collector's Edition for StarCraft 2 gave you one. Basically you need three mechs, fairly easy to get. Mm-hmm. Then you go to Karazhan and you capture the Violet Eyes, whatever they are, the floating ghost type Pokemon there. Mm. And the mech are really strong against those. So they're like level 7, even though yours are only probably about level 3 once you've kind of done the first quests. They should resist everything, and then you capture those. And then you go to Northrend around Dragonblight, and you end up capturing buzzards using your ghost things, so like flying type versus ghost type or something like that. And then you go to, I think you end up in Pandaria, basically, and you capture water type ones in the Vale of the Eternal Blossom.
So here's my so that
essentially you look for the good matchups pet to pet, because they all kind of match up well against, you know, there's critters,
sure,
water, flying, all that kind of stuff, and they match up differently. So you go to an area where you know there's going to be a good matchup for
I think
the
you've
pets
lost
you
you've
have.
Lost Scott.
No, here's no you
I
haven't
think
at
he's
all.
With us.
I'm totally with you on this, but here's my question. To what end, like what Terpster said, to what end is all this good for me? In other words, if there's just a, I'm not calling it exploiting, but if there's a strategy that just gets you there quicker, what is my point? Why do I want to do it?
Five, you get free eye level 670 gear, Scott. You didn't know this?
I guess so. I know there's.
That's a joke.
Gear in the game.
Nobody email us.
It's true. Make everyone level up. Oh, you got to get 80 pets to. It's easy. But once you unlock daily stuff in your garrison, mm-hmm. Which is fun for some people, and also you get
the menagerie.
I can't remember. But there's another reason, but I can't remember it. There's some good stuff.
So okay, but it's fun
to play pet battles.
Okay, that's my question.
You're going a bit farther, Patrick.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask. That's what I'm asking. Is it
being
fun at that stage?
Being a little bit extreme, I know.
Because it doesn't sound like it's all that much fun if I'm pushing through that way.
It's fun. It's fun to a certain extent. It's fun when it's not a grind. If you just go and what I'm doing at this point, I got a bunch to 25, and I don't care too much about it. But every now and then, I'm just at my garrison doing garrison type stuff, and I just have maybe a few 23s or whatever in my. Just in my current lineup. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I'm done doing all my stuff, I just run out front because there's some level 25 dudes just kind of chilling out in front of your garrison. I'll just do one pet battle, and then I just go off and do whatever else I was going to do. So at this point, that's fun, because that's just like, one battle.
It's not like the leveling of the characters that you have the end game that starts when you're max level, and that's a different kind of game. With the pet battles, it's just pet battles all the way through, and it stays the same, right?
Mm-hmm. And you want to catch them all, and I get that. I get the you know, the Pokemon part of it. But maybe, you know, honestly, this might be the same question I would ask of hardcore Pokemon players. When are you actually having as much fun later in the game as you may have at the beginning? Because I always peter out on those too. So maybe this isn't for me.
It's more complex. There's hard to defeat. You know, got the pet trainers and stuff who have kind of heroic pet battles for you to do, and then you can go around to them and they have daily quests where you can kind of beat them and get special rewards from them. And you have to put together specific groups of three pets. You know, a certain team is going to be better against each one of them. And so there's something to the game. And essentially, I mean, what are we doing when we're raiding and stuff? It's, yeah, we get to the end. So why? So we can
get
to the end. So it's the same thing, just with a different format.
Yeah, and maybe it's
so if that's not interesting to you, then yeah,
Just may not be for me, and that's fine, and I'm cool with that. I just I don't know, every once in a while I get a wild hair. I can tell you this though, if you're playing randoms with other players, that's a terrible way to level, because most of those guys are power leveling something crazy and they'll kick your A. Like, that's just, I just don't win those.
That's really not the way to do it. If you're trying to level up, don't just queue. That's, I think, for people who get to level 25, want to test out their cool new team.
Yeah, they're
toying
with me is what they're doing. That's what
And it's better to go around the world and kind of do it like Terpster was saying. There's really good guides. Someone just linked one in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
1 to 25 pet leveling guide for noobs. Yeah, sure. That's probably good.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds legit, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like it. Seems like something that would work.
I mean, I enjoyed doing it. I also had Hearthstone up on one screen and pet battling going on the other screen, so that's, you know, that maybe made it doable for me, and it might not have been. But every now and then, in this game I will get on some weird kick.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeology, I'm all into archaeology now again and stuff like that. So sure. It was pet battling for me for a while.
Well, our progression in Heimal and soon to be Foundry has been plenty for me to keep up with, and I probably don't need to spend that much time with pets. It's all for me. It's all probably garrisons, a few dailies, raiding. That's wow for me right now, I think.
What about PvP, Scott? Are you gonna ever get
back in there? Know what? I enjoy it, but I only like really doing it with friends, so we just need to get more of that going on, I guess.
The 2v2 skirmishes and stuff. I think Halinka actually sent out a tweet about this. How are people actually using these? Well, that's a fantastic way if you just have you and one other person. Mm-hmm. And you just want to mess around a bit, because it's a little easier, and when you win, you actually get a box that could have gear in it. So if you're trying to gear up skirmishes.
I don't feel like the skirmishes have been as well advertised by Blizzard and the devs as you would maybe hope. Is that just me? Or
maybe
I just
not.
Don't hear a lot about it.
Well, if you press the H button, which is about as, you know, you're into PvP, that's what you do, right?
Yeah, that's your key. Button. Yeah.
It's on that front page of that. So I don't know what else they could really do to make it more known to players. I guess talk about it more, but anybody doesn't know, skirmishes, you can basically queue up solo for arena with skirmishes, mm-hmm. or you can queue up like with your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you can earn PvP gear that way without, you know, so it's like if you're just getting into PvP and you just want to gear up, you got battlegrounds and skirmishes now, and that'll get you the kind of base honor gear. And it's really nice to be able to do arena without someone you know who can do arena. And then if you win, essentially you just keep on with the same partner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose, you just bail on that partner and try again.
Right. So, and you walk
automatically
away.
Or?
Well, you can. Like you can just say queue again when you get to the screen.
Oh, okay.
If you win. And that's oftentimes what people will do is just hit the queue again button. Cause it's like, oh, we got a winning team here.
Yeah.
And then if you lose, people will just leave and then do it again.
Sounds like a standard, standard matchmaking stuff. So if you lose, you're walking away with something, right? Some gold at least, some maybe a lockbox with lesser stuff. No, you don't get nothing.
No, losers get nothing.
Man,
you will eventually get something because it matchmakes you. You know, you'll eventually get something.
Okay. Well,
no matter bad you are.
I'm not one of those guys that believes everybody should get a trophy, but I do appreciate it when I get, you know, a little gold or something,
something for my trouble.
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Something. Okay.
Well, see, in Battlegrounds, you will get some honor still, whether you win or lose.
Yeah. And that's good for everyone.
Yeah.
Duncan Jones says he would like to release dueling trailers for the Warcraft film. I think that sounds pretty awesome. I hope we can all vote on it when the Alliance loses. They have to pay to see the trailer. I think that'd be great.
No, not another thing to make the Alliance feel bad.
I'm kidding, of course. But the yeah, he really, on Twitter, showed genuine interest and has pitched the idea that when trailers hit, they'll have a Horde-focused trailer and an Alliance-focused trailer. And I don't know to what end that would work for the mainstreamness of a film and its promotion, but it sure would work for the hardcore WoW players who are looking for some fun, you know, fan service there. So I don't know how that would work out. Like, if
would that be negative if they ran the campaign that way, or would, if they ran enough commercials? I feel like it might be interesting to people.
It would have to be enough, right? Because I want to see both. I would never want to say, hey, I just want to see the Alliance one, or, you know, screw the Horde one or whatever. I want to see
both.
Put
yourself into the minds of a player who doesn't know what the Alliance or Horde, or a person who doesn't know what the Alliance or Horde is.
Yeah.
And then you see these ads for like a cool looking fantasy movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two different ones coming from two different. Like, would you be intrigued? I don't know. It's hard for us to put ourselves into that mindset, I think, though.
It would be a little bit confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as much as I understand that Warcraft is, you know, mainly about the conflict between the Horde and Alliance, it feels like, I don't know if it would be a service to, because when you get into that dichotomy, you love one and you hate the other, kind of. That's what, you know, that's what is fun to get into. And I want Warcraft to be that one awesome, epic movie where everyone's together loving the movie. I'm not sure that the, you know, for the movie, it should become, well, you know, I'm the Horde and you suck Alliance or vice versa. I don't know. For me, it doesn't feel like that's how I would like the movie's buzz to go. I think it should be everyone who loves the game and who stands behind Blizzard and the Warcraft universe stands behind the movie, and hopefully it's awesome. Not, I don't want the conversation to become, oh, you know, in the movie, you're also a horrible orc person and you are a wimpy gnome, although gnomes are pretty wimpy.
No, I think you're getting confused there.
Yeah, see, that's what we don't want
to
get into.
Agree to disagree, shall we say. But that would be funny, though, if someone came out of the movie saying, oh my God, that movie sucked. Can you believe the orcs lost? And everyone else is just like, oh my God. Yeah. That was the best movie ever. You know. Yeah. It's always gonna.
It would be hard to convey in a trailer the depth of Horde versus Alliance. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be hard. I do believe that it could be done. I'm not sure if that's the way to market it to the TV
brilliant
audience.
Thing, though, is WoW has been played by over 100 million people, so you don't have to make it a trailer that is only understood. You know, that can be understood, by people.
Total nubs.
Don't,
yeah,
exactly.
You don't need to play to the game's audience.
You have it easy. It's going to be.
You say that though, but I think there's pressure from the studio. I agree with you, probably from the perspective of Blizzard and Duncan Jones and everybody involved in the production. But when it comes to the studio and execs and producers who are freaking nervous about the millions they've spent, I think they get real skittish about that, and they want to go as mainstream as they can, or as feel good as they can, or whatever the movie's intent is. Oftentimes the trailer doesn't necessarily reflect that, or the pre-show
promotion. Oh yeah, no, of course they.
But this time, the different looking orcs. I'd watch it.
They want to make it as much money as they can with the movie, but I think that's exactly the point. I don't think going Horde versus Alliance in the trailers would achieve that. I think it would pander to the games audience and bring a sort of nerdy, you know, conflict thing to the center of the buzz, which isn't necessarily productive.
Yeah, well,
I wasn't
sure
about it,
my
but
point.
The more I think about it, I'm erring on the side of no competing trailers. But maybe he will do it and make them amazing.
If they do it, it will be awesome. Here's the thing: we're already sold.
Yeah.
WoW players are going to see this movie regardless, right?
We're
so.
In. Yep.
Almost anybody who has played the game or had any kind of this game touch their lives in any way will probably just go see the movie regardless. So you really only need to get a few more million people to go, oh, let's go check out this movie I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And that it can't be that hard when it's got battling orcs and humans and big crazy sets and, you know, just the way it looks. I mean, we've already
you could also argue that when they start playing to their strengths, they'll win. You could take a lesson from the way Marvel turned on a dime, starting probably with Iron Man 1, and decided to start marketing these movies as straight up comic book hero movies and appeal to those who love and know how badass that is, and have really no apologies. That's all those were. All of the pre-build-up was that. So why not do whatever is with WoW, and not try to make sure that Soccer Mom B and Soccer Mom A know what the hell's going on.
I don't think they're going to try to make sure that Soccer Mom goes see the movie. If that was it, I don't think they would have hired Duncan Jones and, you know, people who have a real affinity for the movie. For the game. But it doesn't mean that, you know, I actually think that, and I'm going to be saying some blasphemous things here, I'm not so sure that WoW is really about Horde versus Alliance, you know? It's not so much about that.
Yeah.
It's really about players going on epic adventures, and parts of it involve, but you never, except when you go in a battleground, you don't really, you know, fight the opposing faction. It doesn't really happen. The fun of it is being together with people who happen to be on your faction and beating up some terrible monster that was, you know, attacking you. The Horde versus Alliance only happens outside of the love we have of the game. I that's the way I feel anyway. And I'm not sure that putting it this almost artificially, almost artificially inflated sense of rivalry, putting it at the center of the movie's promotion, I'm not sure would do it a service. But again, you know, on the other hand, it's based on
Ultimate versus Humans.
Yeah, exactly. It's based on old, you know, the original games, where it was really the conflict between the two was at the center of the story. And I don't know, it just feels artificial a little bit to be going like Horde versus, it feels a little bit nerdy. It's fun to us because we know what it is. Mm. You know, that Horde versus Alliance rivalry, it's all in good humor. Mm. But putting the movie into that context would feel like it wouldn't be understood the way it should.
Mm.
I guess I think the tricky part here for them is trying to make two protagonists, whereas, you know, most of the time you don't have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time one side is clearly the bad guy, and when you're talking about this game, you've got two sides that both feel like they're the good guy, and how do you represent that and then make people okay with that from just, you know, a movie perspective? So I'm excited.
And maybe they don't
they
have to do. Maybe they don't have to do Horde versus Alliance trailer. Maybe they could do one Horde trailer. Did I say horse?
Yeah, yeah. Horde trailer.
I'm looking forward to the horse expansion.
That's going
to
be a really good game, actually.
That'll put flying arguments to bed for finally forever. Yeah,
but you know, maybe they can do a horde trailer where they present, you know, the Horde characters and explain their motivations and make it about them, and then an Alliance trailer where it's not necessarily, you know, I'm gonna kill you, you evil orc, you puny human. That should not be.
Oh, yeah, you could just focus on the Horde characters in one trailer and focus on the Alliance characters in the other, and you don't have to talk about why they're fighting in the trailers. You could just talk about the characters and show some cool stuff. And
or maybe we should just leave it to the people who know how to do these.
No, we should probably plan it out for them.
No, yeah.
I think we are far more experienced as filmmakers and WoW players.
I'm sorry, but aren't we nerds here? Like, that is, we are we? That's exactly what we do,
yeah,
right?
Hello.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
It's our job.
We talk about what it should be. And then when it comes out, we talk about how awesome it was.
All right. Well, then let me lay at your feet a prediction. That here's my prediction. All right. So there's been a lot in the news lately about how Nintendo is cleaning up with these Amiibo figures. Whether or not people use them in game is irrelevant. They're just selling them hand over fist. They're rare ones, hard to get ones, newly announced gold versions. Very much kind of a collectible card game kind of ideas at play here.
Scott.
What?
Come on.
What?
Like, let's take a step back into my magic time machine, which happens to be an original DeLorean. Yes, I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to travel back to the far distant year of 2000 and probably 10, maybe 11, when Skylanders came out.
Yeah.
And it's been around forever.
No.
Scott.
I know it has been.
It's not going to be a thing.
But you're missing the point. That Skylanders thing was a bunch of characters and things that, other than the kids who are excited about the game and the collectability of it, could care less about that stuff. There's a reason those Disney Infinity figures sell more than Skylander figures outside of the game, again, because they are big time characters with huge history and all kinds of lore behind them. The Skylander stuff, nobody gives two craps what a Skylander is or any of that. It's all made up.
How dare you?
Now,
wait a second.
All about the skies.
in the Landers.
Scott, you're actually serious about this.
I'm dead serious about this. So this is not a joke.
I thought it was a super fun joke.
No, no, no. So here's what I'm
now
thinking.
I feel sorry for you.
Let me get my prediction out, and then you guys can poo all over it. So here's my idea.
Where'd you keep this prediction, Scott?
I like this prediction.
Okay.
I like it. The Amiibos are a big deal. Skylanders, big deal. Disney Infinity, huge deal. Skylanders owned by Activision. Activision Blizzard being one company.
Oh,
Blizzard has a stable of characters and story that would make them prime for selling a ass ton of figures that also have some kind of inherent connectability to the games. I don't know what that is yet. I'm not saying you have to buy a little dish to, you know, read them or whatever. I'm not saying that. But I am telling you that if they sold $12 figurines of all of these favorite characters from HOTS and everything else, I don't know why this sounds so crazy.
Of all the things that have never happened and will never happen, this is top of the list.
I can't believe you guys think it's that crazy. How is it that crazy? How?
Of course it is.
How?
I think from now on, I think it's more likely than, you know, the Horde becomes the Horse Alliance than this happens.
Oh, great.
From now on, whenever you go because you obviously, first we have the proof that you predict everything that ever can, you know, possibly be conceived. So obviously when something happens, you can claim that you predicted it. And second of all, next time that happens and you go told you, we can remind you of the Blizzard Amiibo moment as, you know, the fact that you predict everything.
I'm telling you, there is real money in that. It's a huge market. And Blizzard has characters that are beloved enough to make a bunch of money in that market. I don't know why that's such a crazy idea.
It's PC gamers. Do you see PC gamers going out and buying? Oh, the office
I would buy all of them. I would buy all of them,
and
would buy every one of those that they sold. I guarantee I would. I would buy Arthas. Scott. I would buy Diablo. I would buy Jim Raynor. I would buy every other ancillary WoW character.
Well, all right, I'm going to back Scott up on this. When I go to BlizzCon, the line for buying crap is insane.
That's 20,000 people, guys.
Yeah, they make
but it's insane.
There. That's fine, of course.
People want little crap. People want little WoW crap.
But at the same time, I've got a whole shelf filled with the DC comic figures. I've got, Big Chen, I've got the Thrall, Garrosh, all these kind of awesome, cool-looking figurines.
Yeah.
But I still think you're smoking crack, Scott. I don't think anywhere near...
Wait a second. So we're saying Amiibo or Skylanders, or it has to have a connection to the game, right? It's not just figurines, it's figurines, there's lots of them already.
No, I agree. There needs to be a tie-in like that. I think they sell independently of that. The Amiibos are proof of that. They're selling way more than they're selling Wii U's or 3DS's with the new chip in it. So my point is it's not entirely connected to that, but that I think is an important part of its foundation. So there'd have to be something like that. I don't know what that is. Little Bluetooth chip. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well, yeah, if it's a PC game, a Bluetooth connection would just do it.
You'd sure.
Yeah. It's.
I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying it could, and I think it would be something I would be all into. A lot of it is about price point. There's a reason those Pop Toys are so popular and that people buy tons of those, including the WoW and, Blizzard-themed ones.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not saying exactly that it will happen, but I think Blizzard might actually form a private army and start going around and just sorting out any of the kind of scuffles around the world, because Blizzard has a lot of money. People with a lot of money sometimes go to war. I'm not saying that it will happen, but I'm saying it could.
Idea that you guys acting like this is so crazy is kind of beyond me. Like, how is this that's like saying if you were at the meeting at Nintendo and they said, "Hey, we're going to make little figures of all our dudes and they're going to sell like crazy," you would have gone, "That's the dumbest idea we've ever had."
That they've now released that that interacts with, I think, great job, guys. I think, Skylanders again had hardware that shipped with it from the start. How are you going to integrate that into WoW or Hearthstone or any of the titles to actually make it worthwhile? I just don't see it fitting with the current setup.
If I bought this is just an example. Let's say I had a little dish like the Skylanders dish or whatever the hell that thing is, that little platform.
But Scott, it could technically be done. No one's saying it could.
No, no, I know that. I know the technology is easy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I buy that little thing, I plug it into my PC.
Could you also look at the age of the, the demographics that have these though?
Yeah, maybe.
It's all for kids.
Is it
Blizzard
though?
Blizzard isn't a kid's company, really. Is it, I wouldn't say so.
Are people,
not to me.
Are people who buy...
the people who spend like hundreds of dollars buying these weird deformed amiibos, no, they're grown-ups. But you know, for Skylanders, Disney Infinity and stuff like that, it's vastly children.
Remember that amiibos are selling fairly well, but it's nowhere near the numbers that Skylanders or Disney Infinity figures are selling for. Obviously, the installed base of Wii U's and new Nintendo 3DS is much smaller, but still, it's not like they're becoming rich on amiibos, Nintendo.
They're making
extra money on the side, but it's not their main, thing. It's a little bit more. And for Blizzard to do amiibos would require so much infrastructure, so much planning, so much a giant leap of faith that their players are interested in this when they're not the console gamers that are buying the the kids or fanatics that are buying the figures on the Nintendo or Activision side. I can't believe we're seriously discussing this.
Well, the millions of adults who went out and bought, like Brian Ibbett, for example, bought all the Disney Infinity ones. All of you guys out there who are buying this stuff, don't feel bad that Patrick's telling you you're like a 6-year-old who shouldn't be involved in
this.
No,
that's
sort of
fine. No, they, know, but they are like a 6-year-old, Scott. I think that's completely, that's fine. I'm like a 6-year-old when I buy my, collectibles, they're toys. But I call them collectibles. It's fine. That's part of the joy of being a geek.
We
waste a load of money on these things because fortunately we can, and it brings us great pleasure. But what I also think is that you're clinically insane by thinking that this would ever be a thing. I just think if anything,
and what I'm saying, Scott, I'm not making fun of the people, of the adults who are buying it, although I think it's kind of silly, but whatever, to each their own. What I'm saying is the blunt of the money, the biggest part of the money is coming from the kids in Skylanders and Disney Infinity. I'm very, very certain of that. And I'm fairly sure that it happens for amiibos as well. Although, Nintendo is kind of a crazy special category of things in general. But my point was, it's the kids that are making these a success. And I don't think there are a lot of...
Guess what Blizzard needs more of, though? Blizzard. Guess what they need more of, more than anything right now? Young players interested in their games. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think this is that crazy. You could have easy tie-ins. You could have like gear sets. So if you have this guy, you get a cool transmog set that you can use with your whatever. You could have... version of Hearthstone cards. You could have
a new game,
special skins for Heroes of the Storm.
Sure,
no, you don't have to have a new game. Add a little thing.
Let's say it even does require a new game. We've talked about it on the show before. Blizzard needs to get a new generation interested in their games. We have an email later that will be kind of pointed about this. It's one person, but it sort of follows us.
Is it from the CEO of Nintendo?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not.
They think that they're going to make.
But
they're sure.
Look, their player base is aging out of Warcraft. It's just the truth.
And I don't think that's how they would do it.
Well, maybe not.
Blizzard's a company that focuses so much on gameplay as a core draw to the games. It's really about the core systems of a game that are the important part. It's like saying, what you're saying, Scott, basically is saying, well, motion gaming is enormous, 4 years ago. Look at the Wii's and the remote things, like the PlayStation things and the Kinect. Yeah. Blizzard could make tons of money by focusing on that, and they need to go get in with the bigger crowd.
Because think about it, Frostmourne, Arthas, you could use the Wiimote like a sword. I'm calling it here when it happens.
This is a terrible comparison.
You heard it.
The fad, right, the exactly fad. Listen, no, well. No. The fad of motion gaming, which I agree was a total fad, is not the same.
No, you think that the collectible toys that plug into your computer are not a fad?
No, I think collectible toys have been around for decades and decades
that
and
plug
decades.
Into your computer,
and now have a lot more functionality in use and have a lot more kind of cross integration with other things in people's entertainment lifestyle.
No.
I
disagree.
Dude, they are making so much money on this stuff.
What's so much money?
Millions, billions of dollars?
Billions?
Yeah, if you add Skylanders, Amiibos, and everybody else who's selling collectibles together, you, absolutely.
I mean, I understand
it's a huge
why
market.
You guys don't think this is going to happen, but I don't understand why you're so upset with Scott for thinking that it might happen.
Because he was so excited by it. If we don't put him down,
you
deals,
can just
he's
say,
coming up
eh.
with these crazy suggestions.
Yeah, it's an
you
odd.
You can just say, I don't think it'll happen.
It may be a cultural thing. I don't know. It's very. I'm a little taken aback by it as well because it seems
Scott,
weird.
Scott, what you don't understand is in Europe, we've recently had a big food shortage because everyone spent
their money on Amiibos.
And so what it meant is that a lot of people have died. And if you think that Blizzard's going to do that, then obviously you don't pay attention to European local news stations.
Yeah.
And in a month at PAX, Blizzard is going to announce Blizzmeebos, and we're all going to...
Exactly. And we're going to... Patrick and I are going to get together and eat our hats.
Well, who knows? And I'm not saying
hope that they do it just so you guys have to eat it.
Yeah, I'd love to see a little crow.
I don't even care if it happens or doesn't because I'm not a big toy guy, but I would love to see you guys eat hats.
Yeah. So from November 21st, I'll just say this. From November 21st until the end of December, Nintendo sold 710,000 of these things in the U.S. alone. Since then, it's been millions. And they run out. They have to do more printings. Okay. They've got this alternate stuff. Right. I'm not saying that they're the ones to follow or to match or any of that. I am just saying
Scott,
that game-related stuff
what,
like this
a million,
is big.
2 million, 2 million of those, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know where they're
Let's
at
say
now.
Let's say 2 millions. How much money do you think they make on them?
Well, they're selling for like...
Let's be generous and say 10% margin.
They're making more than
right?
that. They're making
more
than 10%. Way more than that.
All right. Yeah. How much?
Now, I'll bet they're 50%. Making, I'd say 50 to 60%
markup. 50%? I think it's a lot. Yeah. But okay. 50%, they're about $12 each.
If you know, the average when you go buy them is about $25 if you get the Amiibos.
Let's give them 25 for the Amiibos?
Yeah,
no,
go look on Amazon. Just look at 15. Look on Amazon. They range. Yes, you can find deals here and there. But if you look at all the mainstream outlets, it's somewhere in all the 20 range.
So they make what?
Let's say they make $10 a piece.
$10 a piece. That's if they sold 2 million, that's $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
$20 million.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think that would move the needle at a company like Blizzard, Activision Blizzard?
No. I'm saying that this is just getting started and this is nowhere near like, well, we're now on the long, slow tail of this particular product category. I think we're just getting started. So I'm just saying, of all the companies, who have a stable...
I can't wait for us to be so eating our hats, Scott. I really do.
Hold
I wish
on now.
Now. For how convinced you seem, I really hope I'm wrong because I just cannot see this ever being a
I'm
thing.
I'm not convinced of anything. I'm just suggesting of all the other companies who have a stake in gaming that has a stable of characters we give two shits about, it's Blizzard. That's all I'm saying.
That is true. That is true, but I don't see it happening.
All right.
But that would be the brilliant day,
Scott,
when that comes.
Scott, they're $12 the Amiibos.
Depends on where you get them. Go on Amazon, look at those.
Amazon, 12, 9, 12, 12. Okay, 20 for Link. 9.
Yeah, some the rare ones the rare ones
like
are more
that.
Money.
Yeah. And you got to think really like Thrall, I'd pay $20 for, but I'm just trying to think who I wouldn't who's popular.
Captain Falco, let's see, $26.99, $35 for the what? Meta Knight. Yeah.
Captain Falcon.
Yeah, I know. I agree. That's a little high for Captain Falcon. 21 for Toon Link.
Well, I just can't see this happening. I don't understand why that's not the end of the argument. Like, what are we talking about
here?
What are we talking about here?
Yeah. That's enough. That's enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why that went the way it went. All right. let's move on. We're kind of running out of time, so I'm going to jump straight to this because we have some calls. Let's do this. Hold on. Here we go.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Town Crier, that's where your emails and calls come flowing in. They come to us at 801-471-0462. Leave your message there or email us at theinstance@gmail.com. Your attachments are welcome there as well. Let's start with...
I can't wait for this first one. It's going to be... Oh, so Scott, I wanted... just got some Amiibos, and I thought it'd be cool if Blizzard... I'm like, oh, my
Not
God.
Not even close.
I really hope it is.
Not even close. It's about LFG, so here you go.
Hi, The Instance. This is Ambal and Ghostland. Just wanted to get you guys' opinions on the lack of social activity in Fogman Dungeon. So I left WoW just before they put in the LFG system. And I've come back after Warlords of Draenor to a very different atmosphere in dungeons. I left at a time when people still congratulated each other on loot drops from every boss, And now I'm lucky if anyone says a single word. Just wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on that. Thanks.
Yeah, if that must be shocking to a guy's system if he missed that transition to LFG.
When did it came in? Didn't LFG come in Wrath?
No.
It's been around for a while at this point.
I just
remember
Wrath.
Queuing for it in Dalaran. Yeah, it must have been Wrath.
Yeah, maybe.
So, like, that was what, 2000?
Yeah, that may have been end of Wrath, though, because early Wrath, I remember waiting at Stones a lot.
Yeah, I think it was during
Wrath then.
For Wrath,
so, but still, so. I mean, that's a long time ago. But totally. Like, I don't talk to anyone anymore in instances because, and I don't congratulate them on loot because it's personal loot. You know, who knows?
I still do. Nobody says anything.
Yeah, you don't know that someone got loot or not. But it is a shock to the system for sure. If you left the game when you were standing in front of summoning stones, asking people if they wanted to run a dungeon with you as they ran by, because there was a time, you guys, I'm sure you guys all remember it, where if you wanted to run something and nobody was around, you would just stand there in front of the place and say,
oh yeah,
anybody want to run, you know, whatever with
I'd
me?
Just be like a lady of the night hanging out in the street corner just saying, hey, looking for a good time, come on guys, come on, who wants to do Scholomance with me, come on.
I'll still
five DPS and no tanks or healers. I'll still
do a thing at the end where I'll say grats everybody, thanks for the run or something.
I say thank you at the end.
No one will ever reply to that, or at least, you know,
I'm too busy exiting the instance to do that. I'm like, boom, guys, let's not pretend that we're best buds, okay?
Yeah.
We clicked a button, we're here. I haven't spoke to you to get here. I'm here. We haven't exchanged anything during whilst we've been here. I'm not now going to say anything. Other than if it was particularly bad, I might say, you know, go F yourselves. Or if it's particularly good, I might say, GG, guys.
Yeah.
GG.
I mean, for the most part...
That's like the last time somebody talked to me was actually when the one time when we did... Early on in Warlords, when we wiped one time on a boss or something, and then some guy just like sat there and told someone that they were terrible players. Mm. That was like the last time somebody talked.
Yeah,
and they were berated some poor guy.
Think about when was the last time you wrote into a company to say I had fantastic service versus the last time you wrote in to say I had terrible service. Mm. So much easier, and so much, you know, you feel we're far more conditioned to give criticism than compliments.
Yeah,
which kind of sucks, right? It sucks.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Today.
Here's what we should tell everybody out there who listens to this show. Just try telling the next person who does something nice or good service or whatever, like, good job. We should all just go out.
In LFR, there is a lot more communication, and I do say, especially to healers, like, good job, because if they've done a good job, I'm alive and I've had a good time thanks to that. But in an instance, you could make that same argument, but it's not the same kind of, you know, I'd say stress, but sort of game pressure I don't remember really talking much. Maybe in early expansion, like when people are learning the instance and you're typing out tactics or just checking if people know what they're doing. But yeah, it's weird.
Mm.
It is a little bit.
Let's all go tell the next time we're in an LFR or LFG, let's tell somebody. And the listeners, too. Let's tell somebody in there, whoever's doing a good job, tell them good job.
Yeah. Starts with you, damn it. Starts with you.
How much is it going to take out of your life?
Nothing. And if you don't get a hug, a puppy. Yeah, if you don't get it.
Let's all find a puppy and hug it.
If you don't get a nice reply back, don't worry about it. You still did some good that day. So just.
Yeah, it's actually a weird thing. And I'm surprised that you guys are talking, because I feel like in Europe, this isn't quite how it works. Where in America, like, capitalism is king, which is basically like promoting selfish behavior. You know, it's like, get everything you can because it's all on you, and screw the other guy, get your money. I feel like other countries don't quite have that same mentality. So,
in the game we hug all the time. We spend our time basically
mostly emoting. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just talking about like in real life though. That's a very American mentality of like, I got to get everything I can get. You know, because capitalism, man.
I gotta get paid, brother.
I gotta get paid.
let's see.
I'm surprised that you guys like. Yeah, all right. Whatever.
We got another call about poor Patrick. Here it is.
Oh wait, what's happening? From Psychondrius, and I'm catching up on the older episodes, but recently heard that everybody's picking on Patrick, so I just wanted to throw into the mix that American English is a complicated language, and on top of that, you have the arguments for things like Kansas and then Arkansas or salmon and then salmonella, because no one in their right mind is going to say Salmonella or Arkansas. But I'd just like to hear what you guys think about that, because instead of saying Dalaran, I say Dalaran. And I say Cho'gall or what was it, Cho'gall? I think I said Cho'gall. Either way, poor Patrick.
Yeah, poor Patrick.
I like the fact that you can like say things wrong. Oh, that's part of the fun of fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
Like if you've got to say it correctly,
everything's
written down. Exactly. Yeah. I can't wait to take the fight back to Eliadan. I'm not prepared, Eliadan. You know, that's the kind of cool thing. Yeah. It's very, very rarely. But now we've got Braytak from SG-1 telling us about Gul'dan and Ner'zhul and stuff like that. We don't have as much excuse. But before, when there weren't as much voicing in the quests, it was a little bit more open for the interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody remembers Uther, the Lightbringer, and Jaina, Proud.
Oh,
Proud
yeah. Because I thought it was named after,
Don't go there.
By the way, did you guys know that Jaina Proudmoore has a brother named Derek?
Derek Proudmoore? No.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, I'm sure Terpster knew that.
Is that true?
No, I didn't. No, because me and Jaina don't talk anymore.
She's got a brother named Derek.
Let's see.
I just find that incredibly weird that somebody at Blizzard was like, what's this Proudmoore's name? That's probably Derek.
Derek, his brother Jeff. Here it is. Let's see. Derek Proudmoore was the son of Grand Admiral Daylan Proudmoore, elder sibling of
Daylan, Jaina, Derek.
That's hilarious.
We don't really hear about him because he's kind of a loser. You know, he just hangs out in his mom's basement.
When your sister's Jaina, I mean, you can't really.
Yeah, it's hard to shine when she's. I just want to thank everyone who supported me about the Cho'gall thing. Your voices were heard, people, and thank you very much, because it is true.
This was Blizzard's response.
Scott was wrong.
Cho'gall.
There you go. That's a Blizzard test.
I don't have mine queued up. That's unfair.
Yeah. You knew totally unfair. You're not prepared.
I hear Cho'gall. That's what I hear.
We have a final call about garrisons, and here it is.
Hey, calling for the instance. This is Hal Zine from Mal'Ganis. Wanted to touch on a topic how Mal'Ganis was supposed to be, or at least were.
Hold on. Let's pause that. Mal'Ganis.
Oh, my God. Mal'Ganis?
It was perfect that that was the very next call. Yeah.
I like it. I want to start calling it that.
Mal'Ganis. Yeah, not Mal'Ganis.
Mal'Ganis is a great new legendary in Hearthstone.
Mal'Ganis. Yeah, that is kind of ironic. All right, here's the rest.
You know, a lot of the community talk that it could be your home. You know, it was going to be your, housing, for instance. And I don't know if anybody else feels the same way, but I feel that it's not really housing, as per se. I look at homes and see them as customizable, so... Looking for your thoughts. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the show. Big fan.
Yeah, the garrisons, I think it had started out. I mean, all the talk pre-actually seeing builds and betas and things was a lot more of it being your own personal housing, and you had a lot more customization.
No, it wasn't. It was Warcraft's version of quote-unquote housing. It was like, this is how we look at the housing functionality in other, games, and we don't want to do housing, so we're doing this, which is like, rah, go and
do
war.
I'm not saying it was your house. I'm saying they were going to give you more customization opportunities. In fact, a lot of the interviews that came out after the builds were being shown, they talked a lot about how they had to drop a bunch of that stuff.
How they changed it,
So a lot of that stuff was supposed to be a little bit more, in-depth, like you'd be able to...
But the customization was mostly about... The customization was mostly about, if I remember correctly, it was about the fact that you could have your garrison in any zone in the game and not only in the two you can now. I'm not sure there was a lot more. I don't think there was ever customization in the sense that you can customize your houses in other MMOs. Like you could, decide on, add a room to your house and put the curtains here and put the... I don't think that was ever what it was supposed to be, right?
You can put statues up and stuff, and then there's that little area with shelves you can put little things. If you're doing archaeology and stuff, you can get little items, trinket little things, and put them on those shelves. So I feel like what they're missing is just some more of that. If they added more of that, then it would really feel this way, or it needs to come quicker. Oh, I don't need it, but I think some people like it, and like the, you can't actually even put a statue until you do some pretty hard achievements.
You've got to do massive, exactly. And then you've got quite a few plots on there. I like the fact that everyone's garrison can be a bit different, but I don't know how important it is that they're drastically different.
The fact that you can't Minecraft your own buildings, I think, is not a problem. A lot of people think they want that, but Blizzard has shown me over the years that I don't always need what I want. And sometimes when I get what I want, I go, "Oh, well, that's fine and all," but I'll move on and do something else. Like, you know, I thought I wanted pet battles real bad, and it turns out I don't care that much about them. Well, Blizzard could have made it so I had to go out and construct my own pets and build my own abilities, or, you know, whatever crazy depth you want to get into. But at some point, especially with garrisons, they probably just said, "Well, look, we know what it needs to do on the whole. We know what it needs to be as a hub and how it conforms to the rest of the game, and we'll add things as we go on. But this is kind of the structure that we think will be the best for our players." And I'm okay accepting that. I don't need more than that.
Well, there's been a lot of talk in the Hearthstone community about how there's only 9 deck slots, you know, and things like that. And we should have more than 9 deck slots. And then there's been the counter argument from Blizzard saying that when you give too many choices, you make the game less accessible to newer players. And I think in this same way, they're kind of applying that principle of the more we give you, we actually turn you off. And it's, you know, the book.
Yes, that paradox of choice.
I think in the
paradox of burden of choice. Yeah, where it's like people looked at a big thing of jelly or whatever, and then they didn't want to pick one because there's too many choices. And I think Blizzard's really applied all that stuff to
a little bit intimidating. Yeah.
Yeah, they've applied that kind of thought to this.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Dex, I think it's more similar to the issue of backspace. It's that really there's not a magic number where suddenly it becomes enough. You fill it up with as much as you... I mean, maybe 9 deck slots is a little bit limited, but still, whatever you get, you're going to fill it up. And at some point, it's going to feel like you need more because you're not, you know, organizing it properly, or you're keeping crap just in case, and... I don't think it's quite the same thing, but I see what you mean.
Would they give us voice storage, though? Like, you know, because in WoW, they kind of said, okay, fair enough. We understand you've got certain things you want to keep, and with transmog coming in, it makes sense. So they gave us this new bank that was just for that. I don't know if there is a similar thing that they could do in a game like Hearthstone.
Over time,
even on topic with housing.
Or with garrisons. Yeah, like if over time garrisons were a long-standing thing, and we go and we're, you know, 5 years down the road and we still have garrisons, to not have given us more things and improved upon that wouldn't make much sense. But I think at this point, they've kind of given us enough. Like, I feel like I have plenty to do in my garrison.
Yeah.
And it's not something I want to spend all my time in. Just customizing every little bit and you know, nook and cranny of my garrison. And I think that's all by design.
Yeah.
It's true. It doesn't fill that, that place of, you know, the housing in MMOs, and the sentiment that this is a place that you build for yourself and it's your own. And that doesn't quite get fulfilled with garrisons, but I also think it's not quite what they were going for. If they wanted to have done housing, they would have done, you know, more traditional housing.
Sure, you'd have a place you could move furniture around in and have a bed in there and whatever. But I feel like that stuff sounds neat until you get it, and then you're in there for a little bit, and then you're off to, well, all right, I got dailies and stuff to do. I stopped caring about what my house looks like. And I know there can be depth to that. The WildStar people all rave about how that stuff works. You know, then again, WildStar doesn't seem to be doing all that well. So it's kind of it's always been this balance for Blizzard, and I've learned to trust their you know, overall design decisions, and I think garrisons work for what they're meant to work for now. Here's an email we got from, let's see, this is from Brett. He is Slicer Man on Korgath. Everyone guess what class that would be? Probably
Rogue.
Rogue, yeah, I guess. Slicer Man. Maybe something else, I don't know. Anyway, he says, "Hey guys, I wanted to email the show in regard to the conversation you had a few episodes ago about a younger generation not necessarily being interested in Warcraft and heavy lore-based games, but rather sandbox games and the like. I'm 19.
How about Amoeba?
Amoeba, see, there you go. This is that email. I'm 19 and currently in college. I'm also a 10-year veteran of the game. I missed that statue since I took 6 months off at a break at one point. Anyway, so I started Warcraft when I was 9. Through my younger years, I never had friends who played Warcraft, nor did I know anyone my age who did. I learned that the stereotypical South Park mentality of Warcraft players is overly abundant throughout my generation. For some reason, they don't have any issue with Skyrim or Halo, but there's this taboo around being a Warcraft player. I don't think it's my generation isn't into those lore-based games. It's a generation that loves the Elder Scrolls, Lord of the Rings films, and Harry Potter books, and so on. I think my generation is conflicted about how they feel about Warcraft. I've met many people my age jaded by Warcraft stereotypes, so much to the point that they act like being an active player is a step too far off the geek bridge. Sorry for the long email. Just wanted to provide some insight from someone who has literally grown up with Warcraft. Keep up the great work. So he's 19, was 9 when he started. Seems like an interesting point of view. I mean, obviously he doesn't speak for everyone, and who knows what his friends were like with others, but I can tell you my 14-year-old son has friends who completely and entirely scoff at his enjoyment of WoW. And I don't know what that is, or why that would be, or where the stigma comes from, or why they should feel that way. Maybe it's simply because the game is older now. Maybe because, you know, nobody talks about Ultima Online and wanting to get back in. Maybe WoW has hit that stage where it's just been so ubiquitous and been around since they were tiny kids that they just don't have any interest in that. And the hotness for them is Minecraft or whatever else. And
yeah, it's not the new cool thing anymore for them.
Yeah.
You know, and the new cool thing is pretty important, I think, when you're in that age range, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't want to be doing the stale thing that the other people were doing before you.
Sure.
But he's saying that his generation loves the Elder Scrolls, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. You know, some of them are, you know, not super new, but Skyrim isn't. There was a time when it came out, it wasn't the old thing, but it wasn't super new either. Harry Potter is not old, so old that it becomes new again. Maybe WoW is in that lull where it's like, I don't know, some kind of jeans that you don't want to wear because they were cool 10 years ago, but they will be cool again, you know, in 10 years. So maybe we're too close and not far enough at the same time.
So essentially, like, fantasy isn't what turns them off about World of Warcraft. Fantasy stuff is still fine and still cool, but when I was a kid, Zach on Saved by the Bell was wearing balloon pants, and I was like, all right, that seems normal. It's fine. But nowadays,
frowned upon.
No one will wear balloon pants.
It's a fashion.
Essentially, WoW is balloon pants, is what I'm saying.
Right.
WoW is balloon pants.
There you have it. I mean, maybe that's all it is. It's just simply something's not in fashion right now. And if you're
I don't know,
that generation.
Yeah.
But these, you know, it feels very nerdy to his friends. I'm guessing that they're, you know, that his gamer friends are playing Dota or LOL, probably. So why is it? I can understand how WoW would feel more nerdy than Skyrim, in a sense, but I'm not sure it's more nerdy than LOL. It doesn't feel
well.
Yeah.
Even then, I think it's you know, MMOs in general are something that haven't taken off the same way post WoW because of WoW, and so maybe there's just not as much kind of excitement around new MMOs. You know, no one's really targeting the younger audience. I don't know if there is a big desire from these kind of younger kids to get playing.
Mm-hmm. They're ranking up and them leveling up and getting items is now about a 20-minute match in League of Legends or something.
Yeah, they do that in the laning phase and then they're done.
Yeah. Because that to them is an RPG. That to them is progression. You know, they feel I've heard kids say this. It's like, I love RPGs. What's your favorite one? League of Legends. I'm like, well, I don't know if I'd call that.
You're like, get out of my house.
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you even doing here?
So there's a lot of things going on. So Dice Tomato makes a good point in the chat too. It's also accessibility. It's you have to pay for WoW. So unless you're a kid whose parents are going to pay for WoW for you, how are you going to get into it when you're 13 or 14? And you can log on to League of Legends for free and start playing right away. And
mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be interested to see because Hearthstone has what 25 million mm-hmm. players.
Yeah, 25 million players.
It's like, you know, has that affected WoW's sub numbers? Have they seen a growth off the back of Hearthstone?
It has to be. I mean, even if it's just the people who used to play WoW coming back because they're now seeing Mal'Ganis again, you know, it's, you know, it made me play more WoW. I'll tell you that. So there has to be some boost, but I don't know if it's going to be enough.
I just want to say to your son's friend, Scott, no matter how old you are, if you think LOL is an RPG, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Just doesn't
well,
get
I'm not,
out of my
I'm
house.
Not going to call them idiots, but I mean, you have to look at it this way. it's easy to hear that and go, oh, that, yeah, that is stupid. And it's the same feeling I have when I heard it. But they've got whatever their influences are, and they are telling them that that is a progression game, that is a loot game, that is a game where you're in a fantasy setting using magic or whatever. And maybe we're entering a phase where long form RPG is not interesting to a younger audience. Yeah. I don't know.
RPG elements that you get in other games are kind of satisfying the itch that RPG
sure.
stuff
Call of Duty
gets you in the first place.
Yeah, Call,
right?
of,
yeah.
Call of Duty is an action
you
RPG
level up
in a
and
lot
all
of
that
ways.
Stuff
sure.
now.
Yeah.
You gain gear and you gain, you know, you earn some sort of currency of, you know, and mm-hmm. then that's being used now to improve your character, and that's what people want.
Yeah.
That's really what you
get. I mean,
get
purely from a definition standpoint, he's obviously wrong, but from a perception standpoint, that's yeah. kind of what they're being fed, and I don't know where that, you know, stems or ends.
I don't think anyone calls LoL an RPG. Who does?
No, but they get the RPG elements that. From it.
Yeah, but
that's the argument. Not
but,
that it is
yeah.
an RPG.
Yeah,
but getting what they want. What you would want from an RPG, they're getting out of those kind of games.
Sure, and a kid, yeah. a 14-year-old yeah. kid could give two shits what Polygon tells them. They care about what their friends are all talking about on the bus, and yeah. I think that's where they get their, you know, that's where their alliances lie, at least for a while.
So if Blizzard started their own fleet of school buses called
yeah.
a school Blizz,
this is how
do you reckon? Do you reckon we'd see a lot more players?
Oh, it'd be huge. I mean, look what Nintendo's done with it. It's been huge.
I think exactly. Yeah. I think that'd be brilliant, though. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
Get the school Blizz.
Yeah, school Blizz.
Man, you're gonna. I'm just gonna get the school Blizz. Don't worry.
Hop okay, on the Blizz cool. bus, right?
The Blizz bus mm-hmm. would probably be a better name,
say, though.
But it's probably already copywritten.
Yeah.
I think games like Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm and just branching out into, you know, because for the longest time Blizzard was essentially just the StarCraft and the World of Warcraft. Company, right? The fact that they're moving out into all these other spaces, I think, is going to get a bunch of people who may have thought of Blizzard as just those two IPs.
Yeah, the fuddy duddies.
Like, yeah, now they're going to be like
Overwatch
heroes,
even more than
they may. Overwatch,
Overwatch even yeah. more than any of those. It's yeah. it seems like it's the one with the most potential to engage with a younger audience for sure.
Yeah, and there's,
yeah. I mean, I've been playing Evolve over yeah. the past week, and like, man, it got me thinking about. It feels quite Overwatchy in some of the ways it plays, but at the same time, it isn't. And it does make you kind of hanker after that sort of, you know, that Blizzard experience mm-hmm. and how they're going to kind of, what they're going to bring to that.
Yeah. Speaking
super
of
jealous of everyone at PAX right now who's able to play.
Yeah, Overwatch. They're all going to get to play the latest build. That's totally rad.
When is it? When is PAX East?
Next
6th, isn't it?
Crap. First week of March.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, March 6th to 8th.
But you know, it's funny because even Blizzard's in the business of trying to change perceptions. They don't like, or at least they appear to not like people referring to HOTS as a MOBA or as even an arena.
It's a hero brawler.
It's a hero brawler, which is such a, you know, it's a different
term.
Have
you played the Lost Vikings yet?
I haven't even touched.
It just got added Tuesday.
Yeah,
they're basically, you have three controllable separate characters. So you could be in three lanes at once if you wanted to do. It'd be terrible. Don't do it. Some people can. I can't do that. But it's a completely different experience. And I was amazed just to see that, you know, kind of Blizzard's gone, you know, that they are actually innovating within that MOBA hero brawler space. And that's the best thing Blizzard always does with games. Whenever they touch a game, they reinvent it. And it's better for Blizzard having been there. And I don't know, I didn't really feel it as much in Heroes until I started tinkering around with some of these kind of newer class mechanics. I think that's the cool bit.
Yeah, and those will just get better and better. I'm excited for that game now that it's kind of getting into this phase. We'll see how it all pans out. Thank you again for your emails and your calls. You guys, as a reminder, 801-471-0462 is the phone number, and the email address is theinstance@gmail.com. Send them frequently, send them often. We'd be happy to read them and hear them on the show. That's going to do it for this episode of The Instance. Let's go around the table. Anybody got anything to promote or pimp? Patrick, you got stuff. What are you doing?
Yeah, sure. I recorded an episode of Pixels, my video game news show, with Veronica Belmont and Tom Merritt just a few days ago.
Nice.
It's available on frenchspin.com and you can go listen to it. And we talk about Nintendo quite a bit. We have some dissenting opinions about things. It was a really fun show, so
right.
You can catch it there. Frenchspin.com.
Terpster, anything from you, sir?
Nope.
Nothing. Just stuff.
All boring.
Being a dad.
Being a dad. That's my life.
That's good. That's always good. Dills, you got anything going on?
Mostly just streaming a little bit more often these days. I'm going to try to actually make it like more of a scheduled thing over the weekend. So go check out twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF Hearthstone. And then also people have been asking for WoW. Mm. I know the people who listen to this show probably want to see the WoW. So
sure, stream some WoW.
I will do, yeah, so PvP and then probably some raid nights here and there. So look for that.
A couple things from me. I have a huge announcement to make. I'm very excited about it. And hopefully listeners stay till the end of the show to hear this because I didn't hint at it earlier. But it is confirmed. We have a very special, one very special guest, although I'm sure there others will be announced as well. But somebody coming to Nerdtacular 2015 this year, July 30th, 31st, and August 1st. And that person is Chris Metzen from Blizzard. He and Kat are coming out.
Woo-hoo.
They're going to hang out with us, have fun, be a part of some panels, and kind of just be a part of the Frog Pants family. So if you are a frequent comer to the event or are interested at all, keep your eyes on nerdtacular.com. Tickets go on sale on the 25th of this month. And we are jazzed about seeing him again. We hope we see Russell again and a few other Blizzard luminaries as well. But confirmed, Chris Metzen coming to the show, and it should be awesome. So we're looking forward to that.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thrall himself.
Yeah, very excited. And they are too. They're stoked. And I'm excited for them to
and
see.
And we can finally ask him live how to pronounce some of the names that, yeah. You know, I'm not going to say what.
Finally.
I don't want to get back into it.
Finally.
I'm just saying we can have a definitive answer.
Finally, that's the goal. I'm excited about this too, but BlizzCon is such a blast of crazy that coming to an event where we close off how many tickets are sold, we keep it nice and small so everybody can always talk and hang out and meet each other. I'm excited for him to be in that environment to still have everybody be, you know, stoked about what Blizzard does, but not have it be so freaking insane and they can actually get a kind of a break, kind of a vacation out of it. I just think it's going to be awesome. So anyway, details at nerdtacular.com, a new version of that site going up later today. The current one's up there now. If you want to get details, you can find it all there. I think that's going to do it. Theinstance.net is our website. You can find us on Twitter at Instance Show, at Scott Johnson, at Willie Dills, at _T, and at Not Patrick. You can find more good shows just like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us. Until next time, bye.
Later.
Bye.
Job's done.
Town crier turnover leads to succession scramble. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The town criers of Stormwind have a long history of being the primary source of news and gossip in the Alliance capital. Many criers have become celebrities in their own right, and none so much so as Jonas Stewart, whose witty repartee and insightful analysis have set him head and shoulders above the rest of the town criers' guild. So when Stewart suddenly announced earlier this week that he was stepping down from his soapbox, the guild scrambled to come up with a replacement. There had been two heir apparents, but the druid Stefan Colbert left the guild 2 months ago to become the main tank for a late-night raiding guild, and the worgen warrior Sir Oliver John met an unfortunate fate a fortnight ago in Frostfire Ridge's time-warped tower, becoming trapped in a time loop where it was perpetually last week. With these two heirs no longer so readily apparent, the Crier Guild today announced a totally unexpected choice to take Stuart's soapbox, a Horde warlock named Ro. The Guild's press release noted that the Blood Elf had extensive speaking experience, and the Criers were confident that Ro Gain would solve the problem of heir loss. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Welcome, students, to Monk Meditation. The show about monks in the world of Warcraft.
This week's lesson, Gruul.
Brewmaster.
You want to use Guard for every Inferno Slice. If you're just taunting the boss into the group, you won't really have any resolve, so your guards won't be that big. So later ones, just make sure you have a little something extra, whether that's use Zen Medding or Dampen Harm. You can use Transcendence and Roll to very quickly move back and forth without ever risking overwhelming blows. Dampen Harm will help you absorb all three Inferno Slashes. The first one you guard and you laugh at it. The second one you dampen hard and then guard and laugh at it. And the third one, you have a dampen harm stack, you guard and you laugh at it.
Mistweaver.
This fight is fairly decent for fistweaving depending on your composition. You can put your statue with the other group and just go ham on the boss. If your mana can sustain it, if you have a good enough spirit pool, Rushing Jade Winds, not a bad option here either. You're stacked up with your team a good chunk of the time.
Windwalker.
So if you're going to use Transcendence, and you really should, use it to get back to your initial position. Touch of Karma is really nice for Inferno Slices, but if you're doing damp and harm for the big hit, don't use Touch of Karma until the dots start showing up.
For more tips and tricks, visit monkmeditation.com to subscribe to the podcast.
Welcome, this is Deadrun with another edition of Ask a Magus. This week's question is, why can't mages create fire animals like fire cats or fire bears? Well, unlike shaman, we play with fire itself. Shaman actually play a lot with lava, and lava is a pretty dense material. Fire is not so dense. So we've tried actually creating animals based off of fire, and it has a minor problem of just flying upwards indefinitely. So, in effect, we actually create a kind of reverse meteor. Actually, come to think of it, reverse meteors are cool. So, you're going to have to excuse me, I'm going to go out and start testing that idea out. Send your questions to AskAmagus on Twitter.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, how would you celebrate a podcast milestone? Reaching a podcast milestone is a very important accomplishment. After all, a milestone is very far away, so you should start working early to keep from arriving late. What do you mean it's not a distance marker? Oh, well, then you should make sure to find a nice, smooth, round and flat stone that fits nicely in your palm, so you can throw it a mile and get it to skip on the water as many times as... That is not what you are talking about either? But then you should be clear about these achievements. Do I need to kill anything? No? What about collecting? Do I need to collect anything? No? Well, all right. Then do I need to go anywhere? Must I discover something? Do I get a new mount? Oh. Well, then you just want to know how to throw a party, is that it? Well, I would probably light some gnomes to celebrate, then put them all out with the garden hose to get my wish. Ha! The joke is on you. I would probably just make custard. I am Miss Mugger, and that is my advice. Akamagosh!
Follow at Miss Mugra on Twitter or listen to previous episodes at missmugra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!